This is a HeadGum Podcast. Havenly is the most delightful way to design spaces in your home on any budget. You get to partner with an interior designer to create a beautiful design based on your unique style and space. You can then buy what you love directly through Havenly's platform with access to hundreds of retailers and the guaranteed best prices. First of all, it's super simple. They want to show you how easy the process is, and Havenly takes all the hassle out of designing a new space. Havenly truly makes your selected living space better. Everyone can use a little help with designing their space and their home, and Havenly is the easiest and most affordable way to actually do it. They've completed tens of thousands of beautiful designs. Their team of designers works with you online to design the living space of your dreams, whether it be a guest room, a family room, a kitchen, whatever. Starting at just $79 per room. I mean, that's insane. You have an interior designer helping you for $79 per room. That's unheard of. And Havenly helps you every step of the way, using your budget, using your style, and they can just make sure that you can get a design that you can afford because everyone deserves to have a home that they love. So you can start by taking the free Havenly style quiz. It's a fun way to learn your unique design style and helps Havenly match you up with the perfect designer to put together the perfect room. So turn all of your home decor dreams into a reality. Try Havenly today by visiting havenly.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, and get 25% off your design package. That's havenly.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, for 25% off your design package. havenly.com/lovin. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly episode of Lady Lovin. This is Lo Bosworth. I'm here with Greta Teitelman and Julie Hendricks.
Hi, guys.
These bi-coastal babes are here with me. We just want to do a quick shout out at the top of the episode. Please remember to vote for us for Best Podcast for the Shorty Awards. We are so excited that we got nominated. We are like in crazy good company. And also, if you are going to be in LA on February 21st, we are doing Lady Lovin Live West Coast Edition at the Hollywood Improv. So get your tickets and come see us.
Yeah, the ticket links are in the Lady Lovin Instagram page. That's linked in my Instagram page. So if you need help finding where to buy tickets, it's right there for you. Very easy.
You could do it. And you're going to come to the show with your questions, and you're going to get up on stage and hang out with us and have a like a little tequila, a tequiki.
I love a tequiki.
Do they have tequila at the Hollywood Improv?
Yeah. Why would they
I
not? They have a full bar. They got a full bar, bitch.
Do you think there's ever a bar that just like, you know, every bar usually has vodka, wine, tequila, beer.
Yeah.
It just, like, doesn't have tequila, and they only have vodka.
Well, I know that there are these, like, Russian vodka bars where I think there's just
I think that's more of, like, a specialty situation. I think if you have a liquor license, you probably want to have all of the liquor so that you can make all of the money and be able to serve everyone.
Yeah, agree. Jilly, what's going on?
I've just been really exploring food trends these days, so that was my quick cue.
Cool, I love it. What's going on in New York this week, Jilly? Tell us your stories.
No, I don't have a lot going on. I have a
lies. You're lying.
You have stuff going on. How's work going?
I don't have a lot of like personal stuff going on.
Just a bunch of work.
Nobody stuck it up your butt this week.
Emotional this week.
I felt emotional this week. You know why? That supermoon. Leading up to that big supermoon, we're all feeling crazy.
Are you guys getting your periods?
Yeah, I feel really crazy. I felt like I had to take more baths than normal this week.
Wow.
Like I needed more me time than I have in a while.
Makes sense.
That's normal. I feel like when you work the hours that you do, Jilly, you're like grinding it out and you have to like take a moment for some self-reflection and self-care and love.
My favorite thing though is that I never do any work on Saturday.
That's good.
Ever.
And a lot of day for yourself.
Yeah.
Jilly
day where no work is done. A lot of exercise, but no work.
Are you still doing like your crazy exercising?
Since I had the flu and then I had a sinus infection, I really had to slow it down. I had to, what they say, listen to your body or whatever that bullshit is.
Yeah.
So I listened and it was very tired, so I didn't exercise as much.
Got it. It's very important.
So now I'm chilling. But next week I'll get back.
Yeah, that's great. I know you'll get back.
I'm not worried about you, Jillie.
Neither of us.
What's going on with you guys? How is LA? Are you guys just, you feel tan and like you just, you know, healthy and like you just drink a bunch of juice or what's happening? Greta is drinking juice right now. So
I'm drinking tea. I woke up this morning with a terrible cough. I don't know, like my body is freaking out. I've been dealing with like a lupus issue.
Oh yeah, how are your hands today?
They're not great.
Sweet thing.
I know. I mean, I'm finally getting my medication today, so that's good. But you guys, lupus is a bitch. Yeah. I just like haven't been able to sleep. My hands are in constant pain. But you know, my medication comes today.
You also have that's an audition good. Later today that you're going to slay.
I do. That's exciting. LA's good. I was really, really struggling, though, like, in the beginning of the week, and I'm feeling a lot better now. Like, a lot better emotionally, feeling much more positive, mm-hmm. much more optimistic. But you know what? I was going through a really, like, dark moment. Mm. But I'm feeling better now.
That's good.
How did you fix that? Did you speak to a therapist, or did you just take some time?
I actually did get a referral for a therapist out here, and I'm going to go see her. I kind of just had to think about, like, you know, because when I get sick with my lupus, that also, like, makes me incredibly depressed.
I can imagine.
Because I can't lose my body, and I can't sleep well. Like, it's terrible. So I kind of just had to take a step back and be like, okay, am I – like, is this because of my lupus that I'm feeling so out of control and upset? Or is this, like, actually something very real and, like, what's going on, what's happening? So I took a second for self-reflection. And you know what I did that was really the game changer for me? I meditated.
It's remarkable to me how if you're feeling like a cuckoo bird, just like 2 days of meditation can really help bring you like back to sort of like your mainline.
Oh my God. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Do you do that app?
I use Headspace.
I love Headspace.
Yeah.
It's so easy. The guy's voice is so soothing. And when you sort of like get into your trance, when he starts talking again, it never like jolts you out of it, which I really appreciate because I've done other apps and the other people's voices are very jarring.
Yeah.
And they can like fuck you up. Yeah. But this one is great. I love Headspace.
It's amazing. It literally changed my life.
Do you guys ever feel like when you're depressed or feeling like shit, like Greta, you said that you had a hard week. And as I've gotten older, I have sort of become more okay with just not being in a great place.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you want to get out of it as quickly as you can. But I have started to have these moments, these aha moments, like when I'm feeling like down or depressed or whatever, where it's just like I understand that this is a temporary thing. It's a fleeting moment. And 100%. Potentially tomorrow could be way better.
Well, I think
instead of just like allowing yourself to be like so wrapped up in the misery of it all, which I'm guilty for sure. of and also.
You have to definitely like, I don't know. I feel like also like when you know you're getting your period, like the week before, you're like, okay, I feel bad. Like this isn't that great. And then you know that it will pass. I think just knowing that everything passes and will get better is like a really positive thing. And then you just, you know, don't have the ability to spiral.
I also just think that the older you get and the more you feel certain feelings, the more perspective you have on what those feelings actually mean for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, you know, you go through things and you're like, okay, I've been in this place before. Why am I feeling this way now? What do I need to do to get out of it? Et cetera, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, I'm hungry, or okay, I'm getting my period, or okay, my lupus is flaring up, or whatever it is, you know?
I just think that, like, something that I'm trying to do for myself is, like, I then feel guilty for feeling bad. You know what I mean? Something that is not helpful is, like, I'll be in a bad headspace, and then I'll feel guilty about it. And I'm just like, yeah. I need to rid myself of feeling guilty. I'm allowed to feel this way.
I think that's
kind
of...
You know what? You should just feel guilty on Yom Kippur once a year. And get it all out of your system.
For sure. I think that's kind of the point I was trying to get at when I was talking earlier. It's like,
it's okay to feel like shit, and it's okay to be like, okay, for 2 days, I'm going to just watch TV and it's fine. Right. And I'm not going to beat myself up over this because my life is going to move on and I will be okay. And I think that getting to that place of acceptance is can be like a really helpful thing. But I think that Greta, especially, like, we're – I know we live in LA now, but we're New York girls where we have this attitude of like, I have to be like doing and out there.
Oh, yeah. And it's
like
insane.
All the time. And so, like, when you're not like operating like at level 10 constantly, coming from this New York culture, you feel so guilty about it.
I feel so guilty. Bad. I feel like a loser. Like, if my life isn't moving 3 billion miles a second,
yeah,
I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, everything's going out of control. I have no future. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I get it. Anyway. But feeling better now.
You're doing great today.
Doing great today.
You're doing great.
I got a haircut.
Crush your audition, girl.
I'm going to crush my audition. Got a haircut. Feeling great. I'm having dinner with my boyfriend's dad tonight.
Whoa.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm meeting his dad for the first time.
Wait, let's talk about this. Romance. What are some tips you have on, like, how to dress and, like, how to, like, how many drinks do you have? Like, give us the lowdown.
Here's my rule. Here's my rule for parent meetings. First of all, like, not to toot my own horn, parents love me.
Parents
love me because I love talking to people. I love asking questions. I'm very curious. I'm adorable.
You're engaging.
I'm engaging.
And you have this, like, beautiful milky skin that you look so young and fresh.
Yeah, I'm like, look at my young, fresh body.
Yeah.
That's how I open the dinner. I'm gonna meet his dad, and I'm gonna be like, hi, daddy. No, I'm kidding. Here's my rule for what I'm gonna wear. I wanna look nice, but I don't wanna dress like crazy, you know what I mean? But I always wanna be fancy. You wanna look good.
Yeah,
you wanna step it up a notch. You wanna look chic. I try not to like show off too much of my tits a lot of the time, mostly because I just don't want them to be a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of drinking, also, wait, it's important to wear something that you feel comfortable in and that you feel like yourself in.
Yeah.
You don't want to be wearing something where you don't feel like yourself and or something that you'll be like adjusting or self-conscious about. You just want to wear something that you feel comfortable in. And then in terms of drinking, I always abide by whatever the parent does. So if the parent opens the meal with a cocktail, I'll get a cocktail. If the parent wants to get a bottle of wine, I will have as much wine as they want to have. If the parent is sober, but if my boyfriend is drinking, I will drink with my boyfriend.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, I follow the elder's lead in terms of alcohol. Yeah,
that's smart.
Because then you don't look crazy. Like, if his dad tonight gets, like, say he orders, like, a scotch on the rocks for the first drink, I won't feel weird ordering a martini, you know?
Yes.
But some parents think that if I were to sit down and order a martini and they were to get wine, they'd be like, oh, this girl
who
likes
is this
to
loose
drink.
Woman?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's good. Always play it safe. It's kind of like going on a job interview in terms of, like, the outfit thing where you just, like, you want to be able to put your best self forward so you don't want to have anything else that will, like, stress you out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I just think that following the lead – also, I just become – in terms of meeting parents, I've always just found to become very submissive, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're driving this ship. I'm here to just have a good time with you, so you tell me what you want to do.
For sure. I like it.
Agreed.
Lo, what's going on with your man?
Well, he's not – like my man, like in an official capacity.
Right.
But I think
they're dating.
Yeah, we're like quote unquote like.
Remember we talked
dating,
about
that
last
yes,
week?
Yes,
yeah.
What constitutes dating versus going on
yeah,
dates.
You guys are dating.
Right. Yeah. I adore him. I also hope that he doesn't listen to the podcast.
He's not going to listen. And if he does, at least he knows he's adored. You know how much money I'd pay to be adored by Lo Bosworth? Oh my God.
$5.
Crazy.
He's great. He is, like, thoughtful and likes to talk to me, and we have so much fun together, and it's just exciting to meet somebody that you're excited about and to be in, like, that really early stage, because you never get, like, these first couple of weeks back. Mm-hmm. And it's also totally anxiety-inducing because, like, if they reach out, if they hit you up, then you feel cool. You're like, okay, right. I'm fine. But then if it goes, like, a day, you start to have a fucking meltdown.
Yeah, you have a meltdown, exactly. I know that.
How do you guys feel about, like, the texting when you go out with someone? Because I feel like when you go on a date with someone and then they hit you up a bunch and then you, like, haven't even gone on, like, more dates with them, it can get very weird because you feel like your relationship has, like, advanced even though you've only hung out once.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot can get, like, misconstrued in texting.
Honestly, I am way less of a texter than I used to be. Like, I think when I was younger, I would be more engaged in these texting relationships. And now it's less important to me. I don't know.
I have no interest in, like, texting all day long. I'm like, if you want to hang out or talk, like, call me. Or we'll have it, like, we'll go out. But, like, I can't, like, talk to you all day. Like, I'm busy.
My reason for not liking texting all day long is, first of all, I'm bad at it and I don't have time for it. But also, it leaves nothing to talk about. Like, if you meet up with them later, like, yeah. I much prefer to hear about your day in person than to hear about it through text. And I don't know. Sometimes texting is distracting. I need to focus. I can't be popping off on a text with you all day long. I really need to focus.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Especially, like, since I've been back in LA and I'm really doing a lot of like, work again every day, like, I don't want to be distracted by somebody all day long. Like, it's actually really nice to have the majority of the day to myself. And in my previous relationships, most of the men that I dated seriously and, like, lived with, they would work from home primarily.
Right.
And so I had constant access to them. And, like, over time, I think that it became, like, detrimental to our relationship because, like, too much access is too much access.
100%.
And so having the opportunity to, like, miss somebody,
the best thing in the world.
I think it's, like, a really powerful thing.
I had the same thing. I dated a guy and we worked together and we lived together.
Yeah.
So we would carpool to work together.
That's crazy.
At the same, it was, like, way too much. It was, like, honestly, I don't understand how we even, like, decided that was, like, okay.
You're young and naive and just, like, don't know. But I think that some people spend all their time together and they have totally healthy relationships. You know what I mean? So I think it just is, like, case-by-case basis. But for me, historically, it has not worked out, obviously. So it's nice to have some space, to also give a person some space.
Yeah.
And to see how it goes from there.
Of someone missing you, too. You know what I mean? Like, not in a sense of, like, you're changing the way that you, like, live and doing all this stuff so someone can miss you. But I think there's something so nice about that. Like,
even missing someone's the most missing someone's the most special feeling in the world.
For sure. Like, I know even, like, in Judaism and when you're Orthodox, like, you don't sleep with your partner for, like, 2 weeks out of the month. And so many people love that because they feel like it's, like, you know, it keeps the romance alive. And it's, like, nice to sort of, like, have that, like, want and desire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
That is interesting. I don't think I could ever do that.
Me neither.
Oh, my God. I just said his name.
That's she takes it I've back.
Said his name.
Whoa. Are we saying his name on the podcast?
I don't know. Can we bleep it out? Serious? We're going to bleep it out. I want him to remain a mystery. Yeah. We're gonna bleep it out. I've done so good.
I'll say my ex's name, Christopher. I don't know if I've ever said it on the show.
I know.
He remained a mystery during our whole relationship. I was like, my boyfriend, but, like, that fucker, fuck you, man.
Wait, can we
your name is Christopher. Fuck you.
Yeah. I really just am into, like, bleeping things. I love the bleep sound. Yeah. So I really just
should add more effects.
Yeah, can we add bleeps, Nick? Yeah. Hell yeah. So I'm going to just say his name bleep, a bunch, and we're going to bleep it.
All right. Okay. On three, you say his name, and I'm going to bleep at the same time. Okay. One, two, three.
No, a real bleep would work better than
it is.
Than yeah, so, but that was funny.
You guys, for the sake of this bit, I'm going to say his name, and Nick's going to bleep it in post, and this is going to be really exciting. So and I fuck every day, and I love fucking so much all day long. is the best. Lays it down. Can fuck me right. I love fucking.
All right.
Greta, well, you're an asshole.
I think that from here we
Nick
should
is gonna, like,
notes.
Writing down this moment where he has to put in 27
He's like,
bleeps.
Fuck this girl. That was fun.
I think this is a great segue into answering some of our listeners' questions.
Do you think it's a good segue, Jilly? I love you.
Yeah, I do.
Like, let's transition.
Let's transition to some questions after that beautiful introduction from Greta.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Jilly, do you want to take the first question or do you want me to? Or do
yes.
You want me to?
Okay. I will read the first question. This is from one of our wonderful listeners who always sends so many messages about how she loves the podcast. So thank you so much. We appreciate all of you for listening and for downloading the podcast and subscribing and commenting on iTunes and all that you do. Okay, so here is her question. She ran into an ex at a wedding after having not seen each other in 5 years. She's 26 years old, and the last time she saw him, she was a senior in college. She said that when they saw each other, it was like no time had passed. She said they've obviously been leading completely different lives. They've both been out of college for 5 years, have their own careers. She says she's currently finishing up at a rehab center for an eating disorder, and he's been seeing his current girlfriend for 4 years. She said that when they saw each other at the wedding, they basically picked up right where they left off. And he let her know that he's been having a lot of family issues, with divorce from his dad and alcoholism and all this stuff. And she let him know that she was finally seeking treatment for her eating disorder. And I don't know. She said that it was basically one of the most hardest moments in her life. And because she, you know, thinks that he's going to marry his current girlfriend, but she feels like they have like a soul connection and they clearly have something still there. She says it's like La La Land. And she's really trying to understand what she should do, how she should navigate the relationship moving forward. She says they still occasionally talk on Snapchat and she just wants to know what she should do.
I think that
this is complicated.
I think that she needs to find another soul sister. I mean, soul man or whatever.
I think that when you're with someone for so long and you like see them again and you know, everything comes back. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh my God. But you have to remember that like you guys broke up and if you were together, it wouldn't have been what it is. You know what I mean? It's like you're holding on to something from the past.
Whatever you think you're holding on to, too, isn't there anymore. Honestly. Yeah. Like, if I were you, I would cut him off. Stop talking to him. Get him out of your life. Because it's not worth it. Like, you're not actually going to find anything that you want. Like, you're seeking something that isn't real. And you're holding on to feelings that were there, but they aren't there anymore. And I've been there. I know that feeling.
I also feel like sometimes you hold on to the idea of something. I really do that a lot where it's not the specific person. It's kind of just like how you felt at that time.
Right.
How you felt in that moment, you know, and it's like what they represent rather than the actual person.
Yeah. I really think that at 26, there's so much potential for you to find that depth of relationship with somebody who is available and can get to know you in this phase of your life. You know, I think it's really nice that you have this person who knows you and who knows your history and who can be, you know, like a helping hand and like a sympathetic heart and ear. But I think that like you're connecting with this person just has a lot to do with the relationship that you've already had, you know, and like what you've already shared, kind of like what Jilly said. Like, there's nothing that's like new or organic here. I think more than anything, you have found somebody that you are really comfortable with, and it just like it feels like home, but it is so possible to get that feeling again with somebody else who knows you, like, post-treatment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's so important.
You have to give yourself the opportunity to be with somebody who wants to get to know you and, like, love you at this point in your life. And you need to also respect his relationship with his girlfriend. Like, if they think that they're going to get married, like, you can't continue to have this depth of an emotional relationship with this person, because it's just not fair to this girl. It's just not. Like,
I think you can
like, connect quickly, and it's, like, nice to see each other at a wedding, but then I want for you to feel, like, the connection, to feel, like, closure almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Instead of, like, starting something new again with this person.
I also think that, you know, you asked how you should navigate the relationship. I don't think you should have a relationship with him. I think you could respond if he says stuff to you, but I think you should really try to, like, let this one go and, like, put it in a, you know, a pretty box under your bed and be like, okay, that was a great relationship. We, you know, are able to be friendly and friends, and that's great. A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's time for you to focus on yourself, to move on, and to find someone new.
I know that this is a lot different, but when I think about people that I was with before my mom died, they mm-hmm. hold such a weird place in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I think for you, like, this man knew you when you had, like, a completely different identity than you do now. And there is something, too, that, like, keeps you tethered to that person.
Right.
When they know kind of, like, the depth of something that was so big and, like, powerful in your life, and now you've totally changed. And I get that. 100% I get that. I dealt with that pretty recently with an ex-boyfriend who tried to reconnect with me. And I was just like, dude, no. Like, we can't. There's whatever we're thinking is here isn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back in time. Like, you don't want to go back. You don't want to retreat.
Yeah.
Stay moving forward. And I would honestly, yeah, just the relationship, end it. No communication. If you need to block him, block him. But just, you can also just say to him, look, like, really nice reconnecting with you, but I think for both of us, we're in such different places now. Like, I'm going to continue living my life. You continue living yours. So nice to see you. And this is it. End of story.
Yeah, I imagine you just, like, letting him fade away into the water, just like in Titanic.
Yep.
Where Jack just fades away into the Atlantic Ocean.
And Jack dies and freezes to death.
That's what I'm my visual.
That I'm really working on with this too is really realizing that there are so many people and men in the world. Like, if it doesn't work out with this one guy, it's not like he's your soulmate. Like, we have to stop thinking about these movies, these rom-coms, La La Land, like, all this bullshit that we've just been, like, forced, like, down our throats. Like, there's so many guys out there and so many people you can connect with, and it's really all about timing. You know what I mean? Like, there could be 100 guys for you, and it's literally just timing. So I think that that's something that, like, you have to realize and know that you will meet someone else that will you'll have a soul connection with, you know?
100%.
Yep. And for the time being, like I said, it can be your soul sisters.
Exactly. I love a soul sister.
Me too. What's our next question?
I have one pulled up.
Okay, go.
Okay. This one I think is actually pretty interesting. Our listener is in a very loving relationship. They have great communication. Her friends love him. He loves her. She loves him. He's, like, in touch with his feelings, goes to therapy. Great. They've been dating for 2 years. They're taking it slow. They don't live together. They're putting their careers first. Whatever. Best relationship she's ever been in. The caveat is that it's only the second relationship she's ever been in, and it's his first. They're both 23. And she always hears us talk about how, you know, oh, you're 23, like, you should be fucking a bunch of dudes, explore yourself, be single, mm-hmm. live your life. So she wants to know, is she missing out on some quintessential experience by being in a relationship in her early 20s? If I'm happy right now, is it worth ending it potentially to find a part of myself that I might be suppressing? And she uses an example that she is bi-curious, mm-hmm. and she has been bi-curious. And she knows that that's something that she wants to explore. So she basically just wants to know, like, Should she be single in her 20s? Is it worth ending a relationship that she's happy in to do that? What are our thoughts? Mm.
I think that as long as you're happy, you keep it going until you're not happy. Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit in here. Like, I think that, you know, I had a really serious relationship when I was like 22, 23 to 25, 26. I forget the exact years. And I hadn't had like any, it was my first boyfriend. I hadn't had any experience before that, but that relationship, it didn't work out for us, but I learned so much from that relationship of what I want, what I don't want, like how to live with someone, how to like speak, you know, how to go through different experiences and like, you know, going through like a death in the family or like, you know, being there for someone and new jobs and that sort of thing, that you are experiencing things as well. You're just not experiencing like the single things, but you're still experiencing a lot of stuff that really helps and prepares you for life. Mm-hmm. And I guess in terms of the, you know, curious stuff, like if you are interested in that, maybe that's something that you could bring up to him and see if he would be interested in as well. And maybe that's something like you do in your relationship. I don't know. I think that there's a lot that can be explored, but I think that you shouldn't get out of a relationship because you think you should be single. You should only get out of it if you want something else or you, you know, feel like you're like missing something.
Yeah, I think if you're unhappy and you want to make a change, then you do that. But I think you sound like pretty content. This guy sounds great. And I think that there is a lot of like cultural movement towards more open relationships and like exploring your sexuality. And I think that if you talked to your boyfriend about it, like, he would probably be down to at least having the conversation with you. You know, there's, like, nothing wrong with having the conversation. And I feel like the fear of the conversation is really what probably, like, makes you feel held back more than anything else, if that makes sense. So I don't know. Like, I also had like serious relationships when I was young, and I think that it's important to have relationships, and I think it's also important to be single. I think it's important to do both. And, you know, like, honestly, my most favorite times as a single person was actually when I was like 25 and 26, when I had like a couple more years under my belt. And then I like really hit the streets because I felt like I like knew more confident. Like, what was up. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I feel differently than Jillian Lowe. I think that if you're writing into us about this, you kind of want to be out of the relationship. You kind of want to be single. I think that if you're wanting our advice, if you have the itch, if you're even considering writing into us about this, I think that like you probably do low key want to be single, and that's fine. How am I going to put this the right way? Okay. Sometimes there doesn't need to be a problem in the relationship for the relationship to end. Sometimes True. It's okay for everything to be good in the relationship, but for you to want to figure out yourself. And just because he's all of these things that are so good, I've been in this position. Just because you can write a list of things that are so good about him, say that your friends like him, say that he loves you so much, yeah, it still doesn't mean that you have to be with him. And I think that if you're feeling like, I love this person so much, am I going to find someone that loves me as much? It's back to what Jilly's saying. There are so many people that are going to love you that you can find love with. I think that if you're 23 and you're feeling like you want to be, you know, out there like figuring it out and seeing if there is something you're missing, then you should 100% do that. And coming from someone that has slept with women, that was a really important thing for me to do. Like, I was a very bi curious, that's such a funny word. I was very, you know, I always wanted to sleep with women, and I'm so happy that I've done that. I'm so happy that that's a part of my experience. And I think that I would have been really keeping something from myself had I not done it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think that if you're feeling like you want to be sleeping with other men, sleeping with women, sort of doing your own thing, do it. regardless if there's a problem in your relationship, it's I don't know. I think that's how I feel.
Greta coming in hot today. Just kidding.
Well, I think we get stuck. You know, I think we get stuck being like,
yeah.
Being like, I'm happy, but I'm also not happy. You know, it's a confusing.
But that's also part of the process. You know, with my relationship, I was stuck for a year before I was like, oh, this is not right. You know?
Yeah.
Or I gotta go. Bye. See ya.
Exactly. That's how I felt in my past relationship.
Our next question is kind of serious, and I wanted to just say that the listener that wrote in, this is so brave of you to write this, you know, in an email and actually get this out there. So thank you. And she says, my question is kind of deep and it has some layers. I'm 24 and about 2.5 years ago, I was raped. I'm trying to assert power over that word by using it by the same man twice in a 3-day period. I didn't press charges and won't since it was in a different country and I do not want to go through a trial no matter what country it was in. I've begun to go to therapy for this about 6 months ago, and it's definitely getting easier to deal with rather than just keeping it buried. My question revolves around how I start dating and having sex again after something like this. I haven't been with anyone or even been on dates since this happened to me, and I feel like I don't even know where to start. Is this experience something I should bring up before I sleep with someone? How do you tell a partner that this happened, and how do I even know if starting a relationship is a good idea?
I think that you, when you find a partner that you trust and that you feel like you want to build a trusting relationship with, it will naturally come up because you will want to share that part of yourself with them. I think that it's really hard to recover from trauma like that. And I just think that you need to give yourself as much time and space as you need to feel comfortable, and you should not put a timeline on when that might be.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm not totally clear on the question if she like wants to start dating or if she feels like it's just time for her to start dating again after the experience, but it sounds like the tone of the email to me feels really emotional still and like fairly overwhelmed. And I would be really hesitant to go down the road of dating just because you feel like it's time or you should, or even as a potential like band-aid to try to help you get over what's happened. Like, I don't think this idea that like, okay, if I can be with another man, then I'll be over it. Like, it's right. Proof to me. Like, I don't think that that's necessarily like the case. And so I think you just need to take it really slow and do like take a deep look inside and like think about what you actually really are desiring. Is it a close relationship with somebody? Is that a relationship that you could cultivate like with a friend or with a parent? You know, like what are you looking for? And I think that when it comes to revealing what has happened to you, if you are in a situation where you're dating somebody, it might not happen in the way that you think. You know, I would just allow it to occur naturally. And like you might end up being physical with somebody and like not even telling them for a while. You know what I mean? You never know how you're going to feel until you're in the situation. And you might honestly like feel comfortable enough just being with somebody physically before you feel emotionally comfortable enough to tell them what has happened to you. So, you know, I wouldn't be like surprised one way or the other in terms of like how it goes.
I was diagnosed with PTSD from situations that I was in with some men when I was younger. And for me, it's always been very, obviously, you guys know sex is like difficult for me to like get to a place where I feel comfortable with someone, not because like I'm not sexual or not because like I, you know, don't want to do it, but just because I feel like a lot of times, like I don't feel good after. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something that I've had to work on throughout my life to not let like a sexual act like make me feel like a certain way about myself. You know what I mean? And I'm still trying to figure that out. But I found that just taking time and doing what you're comfortable with, and I know I say this all the time, is really all you can do. I mean, I do think that if you, you know, in my experience, like, I went through a phase where I didn't have sex or date anyone for 2 years because I just didn't want to deal with it. And I kind of felt like I wish that I would have pushed myself to put myself out there a little bit more, but in a way that I was comfortable with. So like in a way where I wasn't getting the same situations that I had been in the past, but I was able to like go on a date and realize like there are nice guys out there. You know what I mean? And like, I am going to change the type of person that I'm going out with, and I am going to say, you know, no when I'm not comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think it is like something that you have to tread super lightly with, and you have to be like very honest with yourself and not push yourself to do stuff you're not ready in any capacity. And then I think in terms of like telling someone, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't
I was have just to tell about them to say anything. That.
You can yeah. do, if you never want to say that to someone until you're like, you know, married or whatever, then don't. Like, this is your own decision. This is your life. Like, this is you. And this doesn't define you. You know what I mean? Like, this situation is not something where, you know, you're not wearing a scarlet letter. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think letting that go that you would have to tell someone, I think would feel very, like, freeing to you. Because, like, I just really don't think that anyone needs to know anything like that until you want them to.
Or ever. I think
it's, or
I
ever.
Think that's, yeah, you don't ever have to tell anybody if you don't want to.
I also, I don't know if you have done this at all, but I know that, did she say where she's living?
I'm not sure.
I think that if you haven't or if you have, there are a lot of really great resources for support groups for rape, victims of rape. And I think that if you sort of, I'm sure your therapist could also help you find that. I know, like, for me, you know, unfortunately, so many of us have gone through horrible sexual harassment and rape, but I think it's really important to remember you're not alone. You can find people that can connect with you, and I think it's really important to find people that have gone through similar things, that you have similar trauma, because it really, it's, it can be the most isolating feeling in the world. And it's just so important to remember that you're not alone and that there are people that, you know, can relate to you and understand what you're going through.
Well, thank you for, like, trusting us with
yeah, the question. Yeah, that's honestly, like thank that. You so much.
And hopefully we didn't totally botch the answer. yeah, that was a very thoughtful one. Do we have time for one more?
I think we have to go to a commercial break.
Oh, yes.
We forgot about that.
We will go right now.
Let's pause for it. A beautiful note from our sponsor.
Okay, we're back. Do we have a sexploration question?
We do. Let me
pull it up. What are we sexploring today? I'm really excited.
Well, we had an interesting question from a girl. That obviously, because I don't think a lot of men listen to our podcast.
I think that some guys do.
Let me.
I think that some dudes listen to our podcast like for intel, you know?
Yeah.
Like we can listen to dude podcasts for intel. They listen to this one for intel also.
Okay. Well, there's two questions that we could do for sexploration. This one I think Greta's going to have a lot of ideas for.
Tell me.
Just pick your fave. Let's go.
My husband and I have been married for 7 years. We are very happy, despite all the horrible things surrounded by marriage we left out. She says we genuinely like each other and we love each other and it's just everything's great. She says recently he's become a teenage boy and he wants to have sex all the time, which he's down for. She loves him and she's ready, but she also has been with the kids all day, squeezing and writing, cleaning up shit, and etc. She says that he's a priority, so she
shit.
Yeah, makes sense.
She says that he's a priority, so she obviously musters up whatever she can. And she says that they are pretty freaky. But recently he's desired more, and she says she's down with that. She just doesn't know what else to do. So she's wondering if we have any freaky advice for her. She says they're still young, 27, 28, and have had a great sex life this far. Well, girl, congrats. That sounds like a beautiful life that you have.
It does.
I'm very happy for you.
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, your options are endless. Like, I don't know what you're doing in your sex life now, but, like, very simple things you can do. I mean, it depends on what you think. Everyone has a different idea of what freaky is.
Different concept of freaky.
A very, very baseline thing is dirty talk. Are you dirty talking?
Yeah.
Are you saying, like, you know, you make my pussy so wet, like, I love your cock, whatever. I've taken ownership over the word cock, a word that I now say frequently in the bedroom.
Do you like cock or dick?
I prefer dick because cock initially made me very uncomfortable, but now I say cock because I had to get over that.
I feel like the guy also has a preference.
Guys like the word cock. It's bizarre. Nick?
Nick?
Either or.
Nick says either.
But in bed, do you prefer it when a girl's like, oh, your cock? Or like, oh, your dick? You like cock better. Yes, see? Guys like cock better. It's so interesting.
Our producers like
cock. Another thing is, you could ask him, I think asking, like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, asking, like, I don't know, I think questions really excite a guy because they're like, oh my god, the world's endless, like, what do I want? You know what I mean? I think that's a kind of like a very, that turns a lot of guys on.
Okay, I have a funny,
there's my advice, ask what they want.
I have a funny thing that an ex of mine and I did, and it actually was really fun. It was like back when the internet was like a little bit like newer, so it was a website, but I'm sure you could get it in an application form now. But you should get an app that gives you like a sex move of the day.
Ooh, and like hot.
Every day you can do the sex move of the day or whatever, you know, the position or whatever. Like that might be kind of fun to mix it up. And also you should each like make a list of the kinky weird shit that you want to do and then compare notes and then like go do it. Because I do find probably if you're married, you're comfortable having the conversation, but you might not be. You might be more feel like safer, like just writing the list down in private and then like hand delivering it like a love note.
Yeah.
You know
also, what I mean?
And then you can do the weird stuff that you want to do together.
Things that are also very easy to do. Impromptu sex. Maybe you get really fucking freaky, like the kids are like nearby and you're like sneaking away to fuck really fast in the laundry room or something like that. That's hot. Maybe he ties you up. Maybe you pretend to be a schoolgirl. Maybe you like give him roadhead. I don't know. There are so many things you can do. Roadhead's really not safe, so don't do that. But there are so many things you can do. Are you, I mean, another very basic. Are you riding him reverse cowgirl? All these things. Is he playing with your asshole? Is he licking it? Is he putting a finger in there? Are you putting a finger in his asshole? I mean, there are so many things. Butt plugs, sex toys. I mean, I can. The list goes on.
Greta, you're like an encyclopedia.
Well, can
also,
I tell you?
You could watch porn and you can also get sex toys. Sex toys are really great.
Can I tell you what I did the other night, which was like very funny?
Yes.
I was, Jilly's unsure if she wants to hear it. I was wearing this, like, white T-shirt. It was, like, right before bed, and I was wearing this white T-shirt, and you could, like, see my, like, hard nipples, and it was, like, very hot.
Did you pour water on yourself?
No, but my...
That's where my mom went to.
My boo was, like, that, like, he's commenting me, like, you look, like, hot, whatever, and I, like, just was, like, jokingly, I was, like... I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Jokingly, I was just like, yeah, you think I look hot, whatever. And I started like rubbing my body on his and we were in the bathroom. And then I just started saying all of this like dumb shit where I was pretending to be like, like a student.
Ew.
And yeah, it was very weird. The dialogue was bizarre. But
I love that.
Yeah, I was like, did you miss me after fifth period? You know what I mean? And
Greta,
then
are you prepping for your auditions?
Yeah, I was actually being very method.
I love that.
Anyway, but then I ended up just like giving him head while he was standing in the bathroom, and it was a great time. It's like a huge success.
Thing. I love
all
that
because of very
that.
Weird, like, weird kind of role play talking. Talking to me is so important.
Yeah.
Speaking of head, this brings us to our next question.
Okay.
I'm just really good at the transitions, you guys.
Yes.
Okay.
We got to answer
Hi,
this
Lady
one
Levin.
Quick, Jill.
Yes.
Hi, Lady Levin. I'm 25 years old, and I haven't ever felt aroused or been able to orgasm from a guy going down on me. I actually find it pretty gross, and I'm turned off by it in general. I have no problem getting off from being fingered or sex in general. I actually prefer that over someone going down on me. She says she has no problem going down on guys, but she doesn't like it on her. Her question is, if she's hooking up with a guy, should she tell him that? Or how would you handle the situation if they start going down? She says that she never has the courage to tell guys that she doesn't like it.
Are you sure that you don't like it? Or are you just, like, embarrassed about a dude having...
Here's the thing. I never had an orgasm until I was 28. And so, like, when other guys would do that, I would just be like, this is boring.
I'm confused. Can she make herself come?
Well, she said she enjoys, orgasms with different sex.
Oh, got it.
I would say that I don't think that you're with these men that are doing the right thing. Because, like... I was like, oh, this is, like, okay, but I don't see, like, that big of a deal until, like, finally that I could, and it was, like, great, and I was, like, with the right person for me because, you know, I take my time. But
what,
like,
about it grosses you out?
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me. Like, it's your vagina.
Body.
Yeah,
like, what is so gross
about
it?
Well, I think that some people are like, oh, this is like, if you don't have an orgasm from it, you're like, what's the point?
What, they're just, like, twiddling their like tongue
and you're
on
just
your
like,
clit.
Okay, why is this? Yeah, if this person's like doing stuff and it just like is like feels like it kind of feels like a, I don't know, like someone's like licking your arm. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, this is like not that. Like, why
except they're like, licking your vagina and it feels fucking good.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel good to her. That's
well, if it doesn't
point.
Feel good to her, then just don't. Then you don't like it, and that's fine.
But I also think that maybe she hasn't been with the right person. Like, maybe they're not doing the right thing, and she needs to educate them.
Yeah, that
like,
could
I think,
be true.
Like, don't give up on this. Honestly, I think you should not give up on this. I think you should just get him to, like, take some lessons and
I don't
figure
know if it's
out.
A lessons thing, though, because she's saying it grosses her out. It doesn't sound like... It doesn't sound like it's a bad job thing. It just sounds like she
if
thinks
she
it's
had
weird.
An orgasm, it wouldn't gross her out.
I think that she
in
is having
opinion.
Some mental block that, like, she's subconsciously embarrassed, thinks it's dirty, thinks it's wrong, and, like, that's what's preventing her from coming, honestly.
I agree. Mental block. Mental
think,
block coming
I think
problem.
You have a mental block coming problem.
Yeah. I don't know, guys.
MBCP.
I don't know.
From
I mean,
my experience, it's just been that they just have no idea, and I never communicated to them what to do.
Also, you need to be really turned on by the person going down on you. I have felt like it's gross when I thought the dude was gross, and I've just been like, ugh, get your mouth off my body.
Yeah.
But I do think you are having a MBCP.
I think so, too. Guys, that's all the time that we have for today. Who is our lady loving for the week?
Ooh, I chihuahua. Who is it? Oh, it is.
You know who mine is?
Who?
Elaine, and I'm going to mess up her last name, Elaine Welteroth. She was the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was, like, the second editor-in-chief, second African-American editor-in-chief ever.
You know I've emailed her about coming on our show.
I'm obsessed with her.
That we've been in an email communication about it. And timing
such a role
has
model,
just...
and she is only 31.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Elaine, yeah, why didn't you come on the show?
It was timing, but we can see if she can maybe come on very soon and go out to Brooklyn with Jilly and be in that beautiful studio.
For sure.
I would love that. So shout out to Elaine. I feel like she did such amazing work at Teen Vogue, and I feel like she's going to just crush it with her next project. So thanks for being so cool.
I'd also like to shout out Phoebe Robinson, who is on our podcast, and Jessica Williams, two dope queens, because their show premiered on HBO on Friday.
Oh, good for them.
And that's a cool thing, too. Two other women that have a podcast
two
and are great.
Queens. Awesome. Bravo for them. Golf claps. Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in. Subscribe. Listen every week. Listen every day. Tell all your friends. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.